Almighty God, Father, Lord, Holy Spirit, the God, the third part of the Trinity that is here with us right now. Oh, we are so grateful. Holy Spirit, we were made inhabitable. We were made new creatures. Before, we were uninhabitable. You could not dwell in us. Oh, but we were made new creatures. And the moment that we were made new creatures, you took up residence within us. And we are honored that we are the temple of the living God. You dwell within us, and we thank you. And you have great things, great things, great things, great things, not only for us, but great things that you want to do through us. And so we thank you for all of that, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you. You are guiding us. You are directing us. We have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, and to fulfill the destiny that you have before us, even tonight. Oh, because you have a plan. You have a plan every time we come together. Whenever we come together, you speak. Whenever we come together, truly come together in the name of Jesus, when the body of Christ comes together, oh, you do great things. You do great things. You manifest. You show up. You show out. And so we thank you for that. And tonight is no different. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're moving. And we desire the very will of God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, I have been in a lot of churches in my life. I have been in denominational churches, non-denominational churches. I've been in Rhema churches, Word of Faith churches. I've been in churches that, you know, are not Word of Faith. I've been in a lot of churches. I have seen a lot of people that are truly born again in each and every one of those churches that I've been in. But I've also seen people who sat in the congregation, and even though they're in the building, even though they're among the believers, they're not believers. And they would say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but when I talk about a believer, I'm talking about someone that has put their faith in Jesus, that has made him their Lord. And that's the big thing. You know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not just calling out his name. It is submitting to him and calling him Lord. It's submitting to him as your Lord. It's lordship that you're submitting to. It's not just calling a name. And so there are people that sit in congregations all around the world that are not right with God. The thing of it is, we tend to say, well, you know, just having your name on some in some book, some registry, some, you know, church list, you know, you're that doesn't mean that you're born again. But honestly, it does. It's the right list. It's the right list. Now, having a church membership list here and having a church membership list in heaven, those things are not the same. There are a whole lot of people that are registered on earth that are not registered in heaven. In Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, and this talks about, you know, the Antichrist, really, and it, the first part of it, and all who dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's talking about those who worship him, the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So he says here in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. So there is a book of life. And I love the way that the King James puts that, the book of life of the Lamb. The book of life of the Lamb. Those who have the life of the Lamb in them are written in a book. Those who have the life of the Lamb in them are written in a book. And there are a whole lot of people that, a whole lot of people on earth will be surprised when they get to heaven. And they will think, I don't know how they got here. Now, that is my thinking right now. When we get there, we will know how they got there. There will be no question about it. But if we were to question right now, are they going to heaven? Some of us would say no. But that's because we don't see the way that God does. Now, going over into the 20th chapter of Revelation. 20th chapter of Revelation, and beginning in verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written, which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So our registry in the book of life is determined by whether we accept Jesus or not. That's it. Now, the other books that it's talking about there are books of works. God even keeps that for the lost, but he does for us as well. And so there are books, and God keeps really good records. God keeps really good records. They're flawless, and no one will be able to argue with them. And if you try and argue with God, you're going to be shown to be faulty in your thinking. But he keeps really good records. And so there will be people who will have massive reward in heaven that on earth we thought, they're not doing anything. They're not doing anything because they didn't stand in the pulpit. Standing in the pulpit does not determine, that's not the only determining factor on my reward. Now that's part of it because he's called me to the pulpit, but he hadn't called everybody to the pulpit. But wherever he's called you, you will receive reward based upon what he's called you to do. And that's the most amazing thing. You'll have people who on earth were so unknown. Oh, but they were responsible for so many wonderful things. As we get into the teaching that we're going to be looking at in Colossians, and we're in the midst of that, we began last week. We're going to get into a section of scripture in this book. What I believe is one of the most important verses in the Bible, and it's so easy to miss. And we'll get to it, and as we get to it, we'll spend some time on it. We'll look at a couple verses that are companion scriptures to it. But the thing of it is, we need to grasp the magnitude of the life that we live. And how we live is important. How we live is really important. Because you will impact people for eternity. And I want to impact them positively, not negatively. I want to be the reason that they came to God. I want to be the reason that they came to salvation, that they came to deliverance, that they came to freedom in Christ, not the reason that they stayed away. And I regret some of the things that I've done in the past that were reasons that people stayed away. That grieves my heart, and it grieves God's. And I'm so grateful for for forgiveness. I am so grateful for forgiveness. But I'm telling you, I want to live different than I used to. And I am. I'm not living as I used to live. So, we're going to... Anybody in this room doesn't realize that Israel's at war? Pretty much everybody on the planet knows. And Israel's really important. You know, they're the promised, you know, they live in the promised land. They are God's chosen people, the natural people. There's still a place for them. The church is very, very important. And we need to do our job in this season. But there's coming a day where we will be out of here, and those chosen people of God, the natural Israelites, will become the spiritual Israelites. Not just by virtue of having been born an Israelite, but by virtue of having been born again. And it's going to happen during the tribulation period, and there are going to be massive numbers of people on the earth which will be born again, and a large chunk of those will be due to the nation of Israel. If you read the book of Revelation, you're going to find out that there are 12,000 from each tribe which will be the great evangelists on the earth during the tribulation period. And they will be spreading the gospel. And it will be such a massive move of God in the earth, it actually says that those who come in are innumerable. That's a big number, is what he's saying. So, and that will be largely due to the nation of Israel. So they have a huge part to play. God has given them 7 more years. 7 years of Old Testament time is what they will get during the tribulation period. It's promised to them. I'm not going to go into the details on it, but God has promised them that 7 years. So when we're out of here, it's going back to Old Testament times. There will be a temple, there will be sacrifices. And it doesn't mean that Jesus is not the way to heaven. It does. What I'm saying is that the central figure on the earth for the salvation of man is not the church, it will be Israel. And they will be about the Father's business. They will be about Jesus' business because they will recognize Him as the Savior. And oh man, it's going to be something else. It's going to be something else. We will be in heaven. We will not experience that firsthand on the earth. And I'm grateful for that because that 7-year period of time will be the worst that this planet has ever seen. Jesus Himself said, if those days had not been shortened, there would have been no flesh left. First 3.5 years will be bad. The last 3.5 years will be the absolute, what you would call hell on earth. It's going to be bad. But thank God that He will still be involved. And at that time, see, right now, the church has such authority in the earth that God has given to us that He has to take us out of the way before the Antichrist can manifest fully. But when we're out of the way, that's the rapture, then the Antichrist will manifest, and there's a whole lot of stuff that's going to happen. And during that time, there are going to be many, 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 many people that will turn to the Antichrist as their Messiah. But the nation of Israel will recognize Jesus. They will come to Him, and they will be, as I said, massively, massively effective during that tribulation period. Now, we won't be here. We'll be out of here. But while we are here, we want to be effective for the Lord. We want to be effective for the Lord. And one of the most important things you can do is read the Word of God. It's one of the most important things you can do. But I want to pray for Israel. I want to pray for Israel specifically. In Psalm 122 and verse 6, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then we can go all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, and we'll do this real quick and then we're going to pray. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. When he said, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, he is talking about the seed of Abraham, which that promised seed was Jesus. All the families of the earth have been blessed through him. But it began there with Abraham, and God said, whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you will be under a curse. So we want to pray for Israel, and we want to pray for this nation to connect with Israel properly. Not putting pressure on them to get into agreements, to get into pacts, or to get into covenants that we put pressure on them to get into that they should not get into. So So we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we lift up the nation of Israel. We pray specifically for the Jews who are in that promised land. Oh, sna ikatno sudini etole emblatini ipalando snishke de bandoli marurarane sindgendere emblati. Oh, manishikondoni ite. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Oh, God, when Jesus came on the scene, oh, God, it talked about King Herod, and it said that he was in upheaval, and so was the entire city because of him. Oh, God, I pray that there would be peace, and right now, with my words, I declare peace. Peace. I release peace into the city of Jerusalem, into the leadership of that nation. I release peace now. Peace, peace, peace. And bringing a stability once again to that area that has been so unstable just in the last few days here, Lord. Oh, peace, peace, peace. And I pray, God, for the wisdom of God to be imparted to the leaders. I pray for the insight of God to be laid before them and showing the plan and the attack of the enemy, all so that it can be thwarted before it even comes to pass. I thank you the right people will hear the right things and take it seriously. And that destruction that could have been so much worse will be stopped. And God, I pray for the entire Jewish people around the planet, but specifically there in Israel, that you would protect them, that you would surround them. Oh God, I pray that the gospel would reach them, that the ears of the people would be hearing the gospel, that the understanding of the people would be enlightened, that the revelation would come to their heart, and that they would begin to see Jesus as he is, Savior. But keep them, keep them, keep them alive, keep them alert. And God, I pray for this nation that there would be a knitting together once again. A knitting together once again. Oh, yeah, yeah. A knitting together once again with Israel. Oh, snahinlati. Hinlati. Hinlati. Nukushni e shingadando. Kere un sambati ni kikalanda unda era ambaneskedete. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And those voices. Nikushandali hilamana agilin ute the brambani iskete that would say, no, 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 no. Anda hishkuri ilamana andiate niske. Silence! Silence now in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that your voice will be spoken and there will be a knitting together. I thank you that we will support Israel financially. We will support Israel militarily. We will support them with resources. We will support them. We will stand with them. And as long as I am here and the church is here, oh God, I thank you that this nation will not back off. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I know we don't have a lot of time, but let's get back over here into Colossians. We'll do some praying again before we leave. But in Colossians chapter 1, we're just going to be doing a verse by verse. In verse 1, Paul, Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, that again speaks of calling, his calling, and Timothy our brother, Timotheus our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ Jesus which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He released grace and peace unto them as he wrote this. Grace and peace released. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. I mentioned this last week. Paul is not the one who led these people to the Lord, but he had such a love for the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, in the second chapter of Colossians, in verse 1, he says, "For I would that ye knew how great a conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." So he had not seen them. Many of them he had not seen, but he prayed for them. He was delighted when somebody got them born again, when somebody led them into that relationship with Jesus. So we go on from here. Since we heard of your faith, and he talks about them praying. In verse 5, For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is unto all the world. Now, when this gospel came to them, he begins then talking about it brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, it does everywhere else, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So the first thing that one has to do for freedom, the first thing that one has to do for being set free from bondage is they've got to hear what God has to say. And the second thing is they've got to know it. They've got to believe it and receive that. Many have heard the gospel, but they've not come to receive that. There are somewhere around 330 million people in this nation. 330, 335, something like that. And most of them have heard the gospel. But there is a large chunk of them who have not believed it. Who have not, again, how does he put it again? He said, which has come to you as it has in all the world, it brings forth fruit as it does also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. And when he talks about knowing the grace of God, he's talking about them receiving eternal life, knowing the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. He's talking about them coming into a relationship with Jesus, their names being written in the Lamb's book of life, the book of life of the Lamb. So he's talking about that, and he says they heard and they knew the grace. So they heard and they came to an understanding, but more than just this, they believed it and they received grace. They called upon Jesus, and it then began to produce fruit. It's the same way in any area of your life. It's that way about salvation, but it's also that way about freedom from bondage. It's that way about freedom from addiction. It's that way about freedom from the things that have kept us from experiencing God's highest and best. We've got to hear and we've got to know the grace of God in every area. So, I'm going to go ahead and move on. Again, he says, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 7, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9, for this cause also we, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So again, Paul did not lead them into this place of salvation. But he's praying for them. He's praying for them. And we have this scripture, and this is one of the most beautiful sections of scripture about prayer that we see in the Bible. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, I want to take us to a very familiar passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. And Paul also prays for them. And I pray this every day. I also pray Colossians 1 every day. Colossians 1, verse 9, there where we were just at. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he goes on from there, verses 17 through the end of the chapter. So, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may what? Give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When he says this, he says, I pray that God would pour out unto you from the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of wisdom and revelation, wisdom and revelation, so that what? You may know him more. That's what he says there, in the knowledge of him, that you may know him more. So I pray for you all the time. I pray for me all the time. I pray for the body of Christ around the earth all the time, that God would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Well, he's done that, but that he would pour out wisdom and revelation unto us, that we would receive that wisdom and revelation so that we get to know him more. the eyes, going on into the next verse, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him. So I'm going to stop there. So he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know. And he mentions three things: the hope of his calling. So here he mentions the hope of his calling. Whose calling? God's calling. Now, he calls each of us, and we often talk about our calling, but it's really God's call, and we grab hold of that, and we take possession of it because he has that for us, that he might enlighten our eyes so that we might know what is the hope of his calling. What is the rich? Now, so when we pray this, we pray that God would enlighten us, enlighten the eyes of our understanding so that we would know the hope that he has called us to. Now, this is multifaceted. Number one, that you would know the hope that he has called you to in the Word, in the written Word of God, that you would know what he has given unto you. Ephesians chapter 2, somewhere around verse 9 or 10, just put up Ephesians 2, verse 9, and we'll begin there. And I'll get back to Colossians here in just a moment. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ. Let's see, let me think here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I know that one too, so I have to stop myself from quoting the rest of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared, for those that love him. This is an incredible, incredible verse. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for those that love him. So he has things that he has prepared for those that love him, but eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for those that love him. Then going into verse 10, but he has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what? Then we go into verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now, we have received not the Spirit of this world, but we have received the Spirit of God that we might know those things which are freely given to us of God. So when it said, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for those that love him, but he has revealed them to us how? By his Spirit. And the latter part of this verse says that we might know those things that are freely given to us of God. So the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and he will reveal to you what God has laid out for you, what God has prepared for you, every one of us. He has health, healing, and wholeness. He has provision and abundance above and beyond just your needs being met. He has wisdom for you. He has peace for you. He has joy for you. And you find all of these things in the written Word of God. It's for every one of us. So when Paul was praying, he said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You need to get into the Word of God, and you find out the general things that God has prepared for every one of us. He has all these things for every one of us. But then he also has the specifics for your life. I pray that God would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what he has for you specifically. He called me into the ministry. But during the period of time between 1987 And when I stepped into the ministry, there was a whole lot of listening to the Holy Ghost and going where He wanted me to go and doing what He wanted me to do. There was preparation for this time. But it's not just been for this time. It's been for all kinds of things. And you will hear what God wants you to do if you will go to the Holy Spirit. If you will pray, God, enlighten my eyes to know the hope of your calling. Enlighten my eyes to know the hope of your calling. In other words, boom, plant within me your call for me. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, then let's go back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, when He makes this, when He wrote this, and this is so important to us to understand, where He was praying there in Ephesians 1, that we would be filled up with the knowledge of His will, God will make some deposits into your heart, and you will have some things stirring in you. You will have some things stirring in you, but it's almost as if they're nebulous. It's almost like it's cloudy. I don't have the full grasp of this. I have an understanding of kind of what you're wanting me to do. Anybody ever been there? It's like, I know that you're taking me that way, but I'm still not 100%. I know, you know, you've made that divine deposit, but I don't have a grip on it yet. Colossians says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. It goes deeper than just fill me up with your call. What Paul says here is, I pray that God would give you the understanding of the deposit that He's made about His call. And he goes on here, and I don't know that I have time to go into this. I may take just a few minutes. For this reason also, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, this is not head knowledge. This is talking about spiritual things. Boom, it came into my spirit. It's there, but I don't have a full grip on what He has for me yet. So I pray, God, fill me up with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's still not a mental thing. And we have the tendency to want it to be a mental thing. And we have the tendency to want it to be the way that I want it to be. Talk to me in this manner. But he doesn't say that. He says that he will fill, he asked that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, which means it is going to be done God's way, which means he is going to not communicate a spirit to your head. What he is going to do is he's going to communicate how? Spirit to spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So God communicates with us this way. Now, let's go back again, and I'm going to kind of bring it around to this. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we were at earlier, we began in verse 9, and we went down through somewhere around verse 12, I think it was. So let's go to verse 1 Corinthians chapter, did I say 3? Chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and go to verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Then in verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Go on into verse 13, and we're going to look at several things here. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So this is talking about the Holy Spirit speaking to us, which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Other translations say speaking spiritual words, or I'm trying to think how it says it, speaking spiritual truths in spiritual words. So when the gospel, now when I'm saying the gospel, I'm not just talking about the message of salvation, I'm talking about when the preaching comes forth that God wants coming forth. He says that it, because when we go on from here, let's go on into the next verse, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So when we pray, God, enlighten my eyes to know the hope of your calling, then we pray, that was, of course, Ephesians 1, and then we pray out of Colossians 1, fill me up with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What we're praying is that he would fill my spirit with the understanding, not my head. So we're going to have to learn to listen to our spirit. And it says that the Spirit of God will do this, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So why I'm going into this is you cannot be the natural man and get a hold of the will of God for your life. The natural man is not just the unregenerate. And that's what we have taken this to mean, and that's not the truth. The natural man can be someone who is genuinely born again, but they're very carnal. And they are dominated by their senses, their five senses, and their emotions. That's the natural man. And if we are dominated by our five senses and our emotions, that's the natural man. And you can pray all day long, fill me up with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You're not going to understand it because you're the natural man, and those deposits are made into your spirit. So you're going to have to learn to be dominated by your spirit and not by the natural things, whether it be emotions or the senses. Now, your emotions and your senses, they're given to you by God. They're not bad, but you shouldn't be dominated by them. You should be spirit dominant. And when I'm going into this, you're going to hear some things that will register with you. They will be spoken from the pulpit. They will be spoken through words of God through many different avenues. And it will be something that begins, it just begins to click with you. Yes, 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 yes. But there will be other things that God is speaking to you. And he doesn't speak it the way that you thought he would. Now, I'll give you an example. I get really frustrated when we have this generation gap where the generations say, Miss B, I can't receive from you because you don't speak my language. You've got a young person that says, I can't receive from you. That frustrates me. That frustrates me to no end. Because that person is the natural man. And I get frustrated with ministries that talk that way. If a youth cannot receive from Pastor Hagen, there's a problem with that youth. Because Pastor Hagen is going to speak the word of God. Oh, but they don't speak my language. They don't speak in such a... Then get over yourself. Get over how you think it must be for you to receive. It has to be somebody young, hip, and happening. You know, it has to be spoken in a language. No, it doesn't. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. And if you're the natural man, you're not going to understand. You've got to be spirit dominant. Now let's flip that where we were talking about. There are older people, elders, that say, I could never receive from that person. I changed their diaper. I knew them growing up. I saw them throw rocks at cars. I saw them. Get over yourself. You realize when Jesus went back to Nazareth, his hometown, Luke chapter 4, he actually was rejected because they said, isn't this just Joseph's son, Mary's son? Aren't his brothers here with us? Now, I know they weren't born again, but we need to get to the point where we can receive from God, and that goes receiving from the Spirit of God. And He will talk to you as He chooses to talk to you. And it does not happen, it does not have to be, you know, some specific way. He'll talk to you in a lot of different ways. But I'm telling you, when you pray and you pray the Word of God, you're praying the will of God. I pray that you would fill me up with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, to the intent that I may walk worthy of you unto all pleasing, being fruitful for you in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of you more and more, being strengthened into patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. That is a paraphrase of Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, maybe getting into 11. There's more there too. And when I pray that, God answers that. How do I know that? Because He says He will. Everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, it shall be opened unto him. He says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, if we ask anything according to His will, His word is His will. That He hears us. It gives us that legal standing with Him, that legal hearing. And then He goes on, He says, whatever you ask, if you're asking according to my will, the answer is yes. So, when I ask, God, fill me up with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that I may walk worthy of you. Because when you understand His will, it empowers you to walk His will. Because there's power in His word. There's power encapsulated within the word to do what He has said. So, when I get a hold of the scriptures, then I've got to listen to my spirit. Now, your heart, your spirit, same thing. And some people will argue with me and they will say, no, no, no. Your heart cannot be trusted. If you want to argue that with me, you're going to have some real trouble because you're going to the Old Testament. The book of Jeremiah, he says the heart is wicked. You know, who you know, exceedingly wicked, but not the born-again believer. The born-again believer, when we get born again, bang, we're made the righteousness of God. My heart can be trusted. Now, my head, that's another question. You got to get your mind renewed by the Word of God to the Word of God. So, I'm going to have to quit. I know we're just blazing a trail through this. We get up to verse, I don't know, 9 or 10. There is so much in this book. We're gonna stick with it because I want us to get to, again, one of the most important things in the Bible. And it is so vastly vital and vibrant for the body of Christ if we'll get a hold of it. It will change your world because you will change your world. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the word. It is powerful. It is mighty. It is wonderful. And we thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, the teacher, the one who instructs, the one who guides, our God, our God, our God. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you. Holy Spirit, you have destinations for us. Sometimes, because of our natural being, you know, the natural side of us, we know that there are things we need to do. But sometimes our priorities are just a little bit out of order. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would impart unto us the proper priorities and that you would set the proper destinations for us, that you would set them out there and we would choose them, and that we would go where you want us to go in your presence. We go forth, you know, and we go forth in peace and joy, and we will accomplish great and mighty things. Matter of fact, some of the things of the earth, they will have to part for us to get where we're going. And I thank you that great and mighty things are going to be done through this body. Great and mighty things done through this body. Great and mighty things done through this body. Oh, great and mighty things. Holy One, Holy One, Holy One. And Holy Spirit, You're teaching us, You're guiding us, You're directing us, and we've got so much to learn, but we're on our way. And we're hearing and we're heeding. We're following as You lead us. And so I thank You for the proper destinations. And as we go, we're going in You. And as we do so, no evil shall befall us, neither any plague come nigh our dwelling. For You give Your angels charge over us, they keep us in all our ways, bear us up in their hands, lest we even dash our foot against a stone, because we have made You our habitation. We've chosen Your will. We've chosen Your destinations. We've chosen Your plan. We've chosen Your way to get there. And I thank You, Lord, for Your protection. And even if it doesn't look like it, You are with us, and You are before us, behind us. You are our shield and our buckler, our rear guard, and You are the One who speaks to us and encourages us. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And I thank You for that, Lord. And now, as we depart, I thank You that You are with us and that You are guiding us. And we are being led by You. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name.